I can't. So, welcome to Playing Through Jesus. We're back again. And I'm really excited this week because we have Ashby here with us. Ashby, give us a good hi.
Good morning.
Perfect. I'm so excited. Like, everyone I told, I was like, yeah, Ashby's coming on Playing Through Jesus. Like, oh, that's going to be good. They're like, I will listen to that episode. And I was like, dang. So, like, you're like a celebrity in so many people's eyes. I'm not going to lie.
I hope I don't let nobody down.
I don't think you will. We have high hopes for today. And like always, I'm going to start this off like I do with everybody else. But I would love to ask you, what do you do, Ashby, to strive to be Christ-like every day?
Well, my dad taught me some really good stuff when I was a kid, when I was growing up. He didn't talk much, so he really just taught me through his example. And I think a person has to live on a moral code. He has to have a set of guidelines that he lives by.
Yeah.
And I think the guidelines that I try to live by are Christ-like attributes, mostly integrity, honesty. I try to be honest in all that I do. But I think, you know, they say, wise man once told me, he said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. He said, wisdom is knowing not to put it in the fruit salad.
Huh.
And so I think oftentimes we need more than just, most of the time, we need more than just what we can muster up, more than self-reliance.
Oh,
we need wisdom. So I think it's very important to reach out to the Lord each day and to study the scriptures. And one thing that I find a lot of strength from as well is general conference talks.
Mm-hmm.
From the most recent conference, I love studying those, and those really just hit me. So that's kind of what I try to do to stay sane.
Totally. Yeah. No, I love that. I love how it was like, I don't know, it was like a variety of different things. It wasn't just, I mean, you kind of started off with being like, this is what I've always been taught. Like, this is what I know. But then I love how you kind of built into like, this is what I apply though. Like, this is what I do to like have those virtues in my life. Because I'm sure it's a lot easier said than like actually done.
For sure. And I think that's the, I don't know, you know, every day is a little different.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're striving to make more connections, like at college, you know, at school, we're trying to meet new people. We're going to meet new people most every day. And, you know, every day brings a different sort of look. So it's important that you have multiple, you know, you have the whole armor of God, not just part of it. So
yeah, no, I totally agree. And I even feel like I don't know, thinking back to just like last week, I feel like I had an experience where it was just like a random Thursday. Like, there's nothing cool, like, great about it. But I remember there was just like a moment that I'm never going to forget, though. Like, it was a moment where I was able to apply a Christ-like attribute in a way that I remember it was like on my mind for a bit, but then I finally applied it. And now because of that, like, I was like, oh, now I can be more Christ-like like that every day now because I actually took that step forward.
That's awesome. That's just, you know, hey, Christ-like muscles are like Christ-like attributes, or vice versa, however you want to say it, you know. So that's pretty sweet, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I like how, I just really want to go back to the little quote that you gave, because I think that was phenomenal. What was it? It was like, was it wisdom first?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing that it doesn't go in a fruit salad.
That's right.
I have never heard that before, and I actually think that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like, I mean, I feel like you can apply that in, like, so many areas of your life. I mean, it's to the simple to even the big things. And, I mean, getting more personal, I feel like the way I feel like I have, like, a lot of knowledge. Like, I'm, when we're little, like, in primary, you're taught, like,
that's right,
this is how you be a good person. And, like, I mean, we're innocent, we're youthful, and, right, we have that light of Christ within us. And we always have good intentions. And it's not until, like, as we get older, we grow that wisdom into be like, okay, well, now there's more depth into everything we do. Like, how am I more fully applying, like, the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life? And not just like, oh, I opened the door for someone. Well, now I'm like, okay, hard things have happened. Like, how am I sitting down with my best friend as she's like crying? Like, how am I applying like that attribute then? And I think it's really, I think that just applies all our life, like how like that light of Christ, how we're like him, has always been with us. And it's so cool to see like how much it grows within us and we don't even realize it.
That's right. And a huge, you know, kind of taking a couple steps back off of that is, it ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. You know, it's as we exercise those muscles, it may become a little bit more natural to us, you know, as we engulf ourselves in the gospel. But yeah, that's been probably something I've been struggling with the most here lately, you know, the last semester or so, is the idea of self-reliance,
mm-hmm.
you know, warranting yourself, you know, believing in yourself, taking that headstrong, you know, I'm going to ace this test, I'm going to ace this class, you know, whatever it may be. And the balance, or maybe not even the balance, but the idea of self-reliance, but also relying on the hand of the Lord and
yeah.
and digging into that deep well of his divine, you know, knowledge and wisdom and power,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever you're in need of at the time. And that quote, you know, about the tomato, it just goes right in with it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we just can't rely on our own knowledge.
Oh.
Most of the time, we should really, you know, the Lord wants us to be self-reliant. He wants us to be strong, but more importantly, he wants us to love and rely on him and to give ourselves to him. So, you know, I think just as what you said, those little victories, those tender mercies, those,
mm-hmm.
even up to the big miracles,
they
show our dependence on the Lord and you know, relying on him. So he's pleased with us when we...
He is. And I love, like, because, like, obviously he wants us to be self-reliant, but it only works if we're reliant on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just, like, the most beautiful combination he has for us to understand of, like, we have all these little victories where we're so proud of ourselves, but I'm like, just imagine, like, I just love to think about, like, this smile that's on his face, knowing, like, we relied on him, so now we're figuring out how to rely on ourselves. Like, it's like the perfect combination when you realize, especially in, like, we have to be honest, like, when we come to college, I think we learned that, like, none other experience. Because all of a sudden we're all on our own. It's like, oh, now we have to choose that. Like, we don't have mommy and daddy being like, oh, this is how you do it. Now it's like, okay, like, I'm doing it myself and I'm relying on him more than ever. But because I'm doing that, I feel more successful. And I think also on the opposite side, I feel like the hardest thing I face is feeling like it's still never enough. And I forget that the Lord is always telling me that
mm-hmm.
everything I'm giving him was already enough. Like, just rely on him, and it's enough.
That's pretty interesting. That's, I think that's a viewpoint that a lot of women have, actually. They feel inadequate and insecure, and oftentimes males have the exact opposite, you know. And so, you know, it's all a balance, you know. We all got to find our own relationship with the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What works for me, like what I like to do to stay sane and stay in touch, ain't gonna work for some other people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but yeah, that's especially here at college, boy, you thrown into the water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of decisions get thrown your way. You can sleep in, you can skip your classes, you know, and you know,
the consequences are yours to deal with, whether
right.
they're good or bad.
Yep. And I think that's a all things testify of Christ. That's definitely a testament of Christ, because you know, we determine our own, I don't like destiny, but we determine our own destiny with the Lord. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's our will, whatever we want, whatever we put in, that's what we're going to get out. And same thing with school, everything in life, you know. It's like one big vending machine.
Oh my, yeah, that's a great comparison.
That's right. Whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out.
Exactly. You put in the money, you press the button, and you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yep.
But I think even if you bring it in deeper, like, you know, sometimes things get stuck in the vending machine, like, right there, and it's, like, about to fall. And I'm like, that's so relatable to life, though.
That's when you start shaking the vending machine.
You go get out, and, you know, there's some people who try to shove their hand up, and it gets stuck again. And it's like, you know, there's consequences to everything, and sometimes
right.
these consequences are out of our control.
Yep.
Right? We didn't know it was going to get stuck, and then we try to figure it out. But I think the greatest thing is, like, when we I think it's when God comes in, is when we choose to take that step to maybe go call maintenance. And maybe that's like God being like, hey, I need your help. Because he's the one who has the key to unlock the door to have it fall down.
A little divine intervention.
Huh? Mm-hmm, right, exactly. And I was like, I remember, I think I said this on my mission, but someone once was talking to me just like, why can't I be like that person? You know, like, because, you know, that person, you know, did it that way. They put their hand up and they got it and it was just fine. I said, well, that's good for them. Everyone's going to go about it different. I said, if God wanted us to all be exactly the same, well, this place would be really boring.
Yeah.
Like, that would be so boring. That was never the plan. He needed there to be a variety, to be different, because from that, like, people need people. We need each other and the different experiences to become literally the greatest versions of ourselves. I mean, we're not going to be exactly like Jesus Christ, but we are becoming like him.
Right. Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. There's a fellow by the name of Lawrence E. Corbridge. I don't know if you ever heard of him before.
Mm-hmm, I have.
He has this talk. He gave it a BYU devotional. It's called Stand Forever, January of 2019. He says, in it, he says, and my mission president used to quote this all the time. That's why I know it. But
fair.
He said, the trouble is not lining up our actions with our beliefs. He said, the trouble is lining up our beliefs with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to what you're saying here, that we all, well, maybe not all of us, but we all have to flirt with the line every now and again. We all have to understand, you know, what is right and what is wrong. I think the great thing is, though, is that the Lord does not change. His truth is his truth. And the more that we work to align ourselves with that truth, the better off we're going to be, the more Christ-like we'll be, you know. And it's going to look different for most everybody, you know. Whenever, not the truth. The truth is the same. But how we come to that knowledge, how we come to the truth, how we come to the understanding, how we live it every day is going to be different, you know, person to person. And you're going to get these, you know, different ways you go into the vending machine. Or, you know, you know, different. The Lord has different relationships with different, you know, kids of his, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just like a parent. You have six kids. If you try to parent all six of those kids the same way, best I can tell, I don't have any kids, but you try to parent them all the same way, usually one of them feels shorted or lanyap towards one, you know. One suffers for the rest, whatever. But the Lord's truth is the Lord's truth. And as long as we strive to anchor our beliefs in his truth and to match our beliefs with the truth, our actions will follow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's open to that greater picture of, like, at the end of the day, like, whose validation do you really need? Do you need it to come from your parents, from your best friend, from maybe a significant other? It's like, no, it needs to be God.
Is it a popularity contest?
Exactly. Like, really, what is this to you? I mean, where are your beliefs really standing between you, God, and Jesus Christ?
Hey.
Like, where do you stand?
Yeah, that's the truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big question.
And it's so hard because we fall into, I mean, we're human. We fall into being mankind, and we see comparison, and we judge, and we do these things because life is hard. We're not perfect. But understanding that we know where we want to be. And if you know that, that's going to get you so far, right? You don't need to look around and be like, well, what are they actually thinking about me? Because why does it actually matter? Do you know what your Heavenly Father actually thinks about you?
Hey. You know, I'm actually thinking of a couple scriptures right here. Thinking of Alma 7, of course.
Yes. You know,
but I think one that's potent as well in the New Testament. Let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 3. It's one of the most popular scriptures. But man, it's powerful. And I think a lot of people, well, including myself, we don't really understand the meaning of it. I think it's an ongoing, you know, you can't never learn more. But it says, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a sweet one. I love that one. But I think one that I like even more than that is in 17. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That right there, I believe, explains the character of Christ to a T. He not only did Heavenly Father give His only begotten Son for all of us, but He sent Him here not to condemn the world, but that through Him we might be saved. And what that tells me is that the Savior isn't, it's not like your ninth grade English teacher who is looking for all of your mistakes and is going to make an example out of you and is there to, feels like she wants you to fail. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The only D I got in my whole school career was my 11th grade English teacher, and she wanted me to fail.
There's always one of them, always.
But the Lord couldn't be further away from that. He's taken our iniquities, He's taken our insecurities, our downfalls, Ether 12:27, and He's turned them into strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the character of Christ. And I think a huge part of our mortal probationary state is to learn how to do that for other people as well. Ourselves, mm-hmm. right? But especially for other people as well. How can we turn other people's weaknesses into strengths? Maybe not that, but how can we help them achieve that? You know, how can we help them feel good about themselves and minister to them, you know? So.
Yeah, I love, like, just the idea of it's more than just us looking above, right? Looking more than just inwards, but outwards.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's so much more. Yep. There's so much more that we don't know. And I love how simple you made that. It's just, that is what it is.
Yeah. I had my first semester up here. I think about this all the time, so it's kind of funny, but I was right off my mission, you know. Mm-hmm. I was dead broke, but that ain't got nothing to do with it.
Are we all?
But anyway, my first semester, we were still online a little bit. And I had this professor, his name was Terry Gordon. I don't know if I need to get his permission to say that, but he was an English professor, but he said, y'all, when you walk on campus, try to always keep a smile on your face. He said, there are people here that are just having the worst time of their life. And you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they've been through their lives. And they're far away from home. You know, their parents aren't here with them. They're scared. They're alone. They don't have friends. They just go to class and go home, you know. Keep that smile on your face, he said. There could be somebody walking down the street, a girl walking down the street, and she just happens to look up and glance at your smile, and it makes her smile. And it makes her feel good for an instant. It makes her feel good, great. And then she goes home later that night and she FaceTimes her mom. And she tells her about, you know, instead of a negative perspective, maybe she has a positive perspective. And she starts speaking of the good things that happened throughout her day. And then before she knows it, she's 3, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks later, she's loving her life. She's loving college, you know. You never know what one small little thing could do. And so I just love that professor and he taught me a great lesson there, more than just keeping a smile on your face, but yeah. I think kind of this concept of the character of Christ.
I agree.
How can we lift others? How can we, in our deepest admonition, our deepest iniquity, how can we reach out and look for how we can help others and assist others, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And
ironic.
I think it's, I mean, kind of going off what you said, I mean, even with the scripture, like, I think often we just say, like, yeah, God sent His Son. We know God sent His Son. We know what He did. But sometimes I feel we minimize exactly what that was, you know. We don't know, we minimize being like, oh, God has sent His Son. It's just a smile. But we don't understand the impact of what that smile really has done. God sent His Son to what, right? To literally save us all. Right, because of this beautiful, greatest act of love we have ever seen. We have no idea the impact it's truly made on literally the first person on earth to the last. It is something so incredible, and we don't even know that yet. You know, all we can do is have our small bubble to make that small impact, to look outward and to spread really what that Christ-like love looks like to us, maybe, but let someone else act on it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably one of the worst ones to be talking about this too, because boy, I get pissed off real easy, and I get aggravated and angry, and boy, I wear it for a couple days, you know. But that reminds me of this fella I knew on my mission, Brother Erickson. Boy, the man just always smiled. It didn't matter when we caught him. Church, we'd go through his house throughout the week. That man grinned like a possum all day, every day. One day I was like, Brother Erickson, what are you doing? How are you doing it? You know? Mm-hmm. He said, well, I'll tell you, it's not natural. He said, I wake up every morning and I make a decision. This is going to be a good day. I'm going to smile. Oh. He said, every day he wakes up, and that's his thought process. And just, boy, how powerful is that? You know? How powerful is that, that he makes that decision every day and he follows through with it. He does it.
Yeah.
The Lord helps him, you know, and I can't tell you how many lives he's impacted, you know. He'd put a smile on my face every time I saw him, so.
Yeah. Just because of his decision when he woke up. I mean,
that's right.
I think about, like, tomorrow morning, like, if I woke up and I'm just like, today's going to be a good day. Like, I'm manifesting that. And also, on top of it, like, the Lord hears me. And I feel like if I can do that, like, the Lord will completely fulfill, like, what my desire is. And even if bad things happen, I mean, it's all about the perspective. I'm sure Brother Erickson here is like, still got a smile on his face, and we have no idea what's going on behind closed doors.
That's right.
But he still, I'm sure, was just there filling everyone's soul because he chose to make it good.
That's right.
Even if it was hard, we didn't know.
You know, the Lord, or the adversary, works in counterfeits.
Mm-hmm.
He works in, well, you know, he probably works in more ways than this, but there are two that I think are very potent. One, he works in counterfeits, and he tries to trick, you know, he tries to add a little bit of truth to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second way he works is, more than two, but the second way I'm going to say is just straight up lies, or straight up more of a dragging down. So the first few times I saw Brother Erickson, you know, smiling and stuff, I was like, this thing's fake as heck, you know what I'm like,
that's
this is
not
fake.
Real. Yeah.
He tell, and then you know, you think about all the examples of people that you know that are just bubbly and go lucky. It's like, there's no way somebody can be that way all the time. They're faking it, you know. Oh, yeah. They got all this stuff going on. But that's the adversary trying to drag us down, trying to drag other people down. Really, what it is he's trying to keep us from feeling that happiness and that peace.
Yeah. And he'll do anything he can
that's
to take
right.
it from us.
And how important is it for us to rely on the Savior, to rely on the truth and the teachings that we know in order to not try to win the popularity contest?
Yes.
I think that's a good connection right there. And who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to glorify? Brother Erickson is not trying to glorify me or you.
Mm-mm.
He's trying to glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
And he knows that if he puts a smile on his face, he will glorify the Lord. He will bring others to a more happier state, and that's what the Savior is all about, right?
Yeah.
Bring to pass immortality and eternal life, and
mm-hmm.
men are that they may have joy, right? So.
Exactly, and it's that simple. Like, when we bring it, give it all back to the Lord, it's like the joy is tremendous. It's endless.
Right.
It all goes back to Him.
Yep.
And we've been learning these simple things since day one, and now we're starting to understand just how easy it's always been. And the adversary definitely makes it sound like it's the hardest thing ever when it's really not.
Yeah. That's right.
It's just who we are.
Natural.
It's natural. It's just how it goes. I love this. And I just kind of feel like, I know, I kind of feel like we've made a full circle here. What do you feel like would be this, like, the one thing, like, you would want listeners to take away from this?
Well, what do I need to do to be more Christ-like? What are the steps I need to take in order to glorify Heavenly Father? Heavenly Father has a plan. Heavenly Father loves us. We're His children. the Savior, he performed the atonement for us. There's no too far gone. You can always come home. That's an Alan Jackson song. There's never too far. So if that's the case, if there's never too far, then what's the first step? What do I need to do to make them happy today? To glorify Heavenly Father and the Savior today? To not waste that gift that He gave us? And just as we said at the beginning, my answer is going to be different from somebody else's, you know? So I feel comfortable with that.
Just trying to be like, take the time to find yours.
What lack I yet?
Yeah.
What? That's right.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Take that time to find your simple smile. Like, what's that first simple step?
And I think we're way more likely to find that answer on our knees than we are on our butt. We're standing up.
Yes.
So.
Because the Lord will reveal that, and it's going to be something that I'm sure maybe some of us have felt all along. We have always known, but the Lord will make it so clear. And all we have to do is just take that step to do it, because the Lord will provide those ways and He will fulfill and help us have that endless joy that we all want, because Christ made that possible.
That's right.
I love that so much. Thanks you so much for all of this. You can tell the Spirit burns with you everywhere you go.
Shoot. Lord willing, and the sun rises, it'd be that way my whole life, you know.
God bless that. Thanks again. This was so great. And I'm just so grateful to know, like, there are so many ways for us to be Christ-like. There isn't just one. And it's all going to look different. But yet, we can all come together and, I don't know, glorify Him in the most beautiful ways possible. Because He is just so prominent all around us. And it is such a blessing to know that Christ do that for us.
You know, that's something I leave with, something I'll end with. I think that's a huge part of my testimony. Where I was raised in Louisiana, I was the only member in my whole school. I went to two different schools. I was the only member, both of them. You know, there's majority of my life, there were three people in the youth program. So not a lot of strength, not a lot of members, you know. And strength, there is strength in numbers. And I think that's like I said, that's a huge part of my conversion, my testimony, especially going and serving a mission and coming up here in school where there are a ton of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is hard. And it is a journey. It's meant to be a journey. There's meant to be mountains, big passes, covered in snow and ice, you know, and a lack of food, you know. It's meant to be hard.
Yeah, especially up here.
And I think it's a whole lot, I won't say easier, but you're a whole lot more apt for the Lord to ease your burdens whenever there are numbers and whenever there are those around you. And even in a place with so many members, you can feel alone. You can feel like the only member in your school. And so how important is it to reach out to the one and minister to the individuals in our ward, in our classes, and on campus? It doesn't matter. In our activities, extracurriculars. So that's kind of my testimony. What I'd leave with is just, don't be afraid to walk up to somebody and just hold a conversation. Don't be afraid to have that smile on your face. And it's something that I pray for strength to do every night is to find somebody that needs a conversation or needs some help, you know. And just go out there and go fight, win, go find them and bring them, you know. Like Elder Ugdorf says, come and belong, you know? come and share, whatever he says. So
I love that. Good. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Money.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This is incredible, and I can't wait for others to apply this. But until next week, I mean, all I can say is get points for Jesus, because it's that easy. It's so many opportunities all around us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm just so grateful to finally be coming back to this after forever, and we'll see you all next week.